Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ross Dellinger, covering college football for Sports Illustrated, is joining us now. The NCAA lifting the ban on campus training activities starting June 1. Ross, once again, positive news compared to when I talked to you about a month and a half, 2 months ago when this thing first started.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot's changed over the last 2 or 3 weeks or so. Certainly a movement toward optimism, you know, toward having a football season and potentially it starting on time.
Now, you know, Ross, when you look at potential scheduling and obviously everything's done in advance, like, for instance, LSU's also coming out with who they're going to face in 2022. They mentioned that all of a sudden, November the 19th, they're playing UAB. And then if you go on, also non-conference games 2022 against Florida State and New Mexico. What about a complete season, but maybe just playing within the conference? Do you think, as far as the travel, how does that come into play now with the upcoming schedule and the games? I mean, is it, you think it could be across the board that you could have interconference play, or you think it could be just within the SEC?
It's looking more and more like we might have a regular season, you know, a normal regular season as it's scheduled. There probably will be limited fan, you know, limited attendance in some way. It'll be limited. Some places might be allowed to have more fans than normal. And you're right. You know, when it comes to, road non-conference road games, there could be issues because each school is going to have kind of a different protocols and testing protocols. So the home team in a lot of ways will probably, you have to align to whatever their, you know, meet whatever their standards and guidelines are. And there'll be lots of testing and all that. But and when someone gets test positive, you know, kind of what do you do? You could have teams potentially miss games, and that's probably the chief concern is when you have a full regular season, everybody might not end up playing 12 games because you might have a positive test that prevents you from playing a game or two, maybe, you know. But it does look like they're going to do everything they can. And I think we're heading in the direction to starting on time and then having a full season. I think that a conference only schedule is certainly a model that they're looking at. But I believe that right now, at least, a full schedule is a top priority. I think they believe they can do it.
Now, so Ross, what is your take with this? Obviously, you look at teams that are on your schedule. For instance, I'm looking at the largest payout for this upcoming season for one game deal. Really is $1.9 million that the Auburn Tigers are going to pay Massachusetts. Now, UMass has a $10 million budget for football, so that game is being scheduled November the 14th. And then I'm looking at also with Arkansas State going to the Big House. And I'm looking at their athletic director, you know, that's where DeMario Davis played. And he's saying basically that the budget would take a significant hit if the Red Wolves couldn't play at Michigan. So, you know, obviously we're looking at the five and all that. Then you got the group of five would be out of millions. And that also comes into play. Is it something like everyone's taking care of their own? And, okay, well, maybe this can't occur that Arkansas State's playing Michigan or UMass is playing Auburn. Because that could definitely affect their budgets going forward in the situation they're going to be in.
Well, it certainly could, and that's one of the big talking points for a group of five ADs is you can't cut the season down to just conference only because we need this money from these non-conference games, and a lot of the contracts in these non-conference games do have clauses that will get the Power Five school out of paying the group of five school if all these games are canceled, the season's truncated in some way. So, yeah, that's a huge point. I mean, already these group of five programs are having trouble financially. They rely heavily on state funding and institutional funding. And right now, those things are drying up, you know, because of the economy and just enrollment and not having kids on campus. So already they're hurt financially. This would hurt them even more if they're not going to get some of these guaranteed games. Because as you said, you know, these guarantees, these contracts, they range from anywhere from $700,000 a game to $2 million. And if you look at it, the average is $1.2 million a group of five team gets to go play at a Power Five program. But $1.2 million for a group of five team might be 5% of their budget on a given year. I mean, you know, these are budgets that are ranging, you know, $25 to $40 million or so. So you know, that could be a real big hit for some of these programs.
Now, Ross, talking about that and looking at the trickle-down effect, when you look at all amateur athletics on the college level, then you look at different universities, you better have 9, 10, 11 different programs, whether it be gymnastics, women's soccer, the swim team, softball, or whatever it might be, that to me it's all affected because football is king. And that all of a sudden, you know, I was reading where if they didn't even have a college football season, a $4 billion loss. So I think then Bowling Green, they just dropped baseball, that you're going to have a number of universities that maybe sports that they had in the past, they're not going to have in the immediate future because of the revenue.
Oh, yeah. You know, absolutely. And yeah, you're seeing, I think it's a total of 17 sports teams now, 17 in Division One have been cut over 9 different programs. So it's pretty drastic, and this is early on. We're going to see this through the summer. We'll see. You know, I'm just guessing if through 2 months of this pandemic, if we've already seen 17 teams cut. I'm guessing by the start of August, when the semester begins, I'm guessing we're going to see, you know, 3 times that many athletic teams cut. And of it, of course, going to be the Olympic sports. And it's going to be tennises and the golfs and the swimmings, maybe even baseball. And that stinks, obviously, for coaches and the staff members and obviously the players and the opportunity. And, I know football and men's basketball make all the money, but these other sports are certainly provide community athletics for these colleges. And it just kind of gives a college that, you know, that feel that it has, campus that feel that it has. So it's unfortunate, but, you know, we did a story at SI in April, and we kind of spelled out how much these Olympic sports, quote unquote, cost, you know, an athletic department. And it's a lot, you know, it's anywhere from $12 to $25 million a year as an athletic department lose on Olympic sports. And, you know, that's, and so right now, when you look at things to cut, that's what you're looking at.
Ross Dellinger here on Sports Talk covers college football for Sports Illustrated. The NCAA lifting the ban on campus training activities starting June 1. Ross, how well do you think this is going to go in terms of these workouts? Do you some people feel like this might be, there might be a second wave and they might have to shut everything down, or would they just kind of just work through it? Would they isolate the players and quarantine them? How would that look like?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, many schools have already explored a lot of this over the last few weeks, and they kind of had a plan ready, you know, for their facilities and kind of virus proofing, if you will, their facilities. That includes ordering thousands of masks and gloves and ordering these crazy disinfectant misters and foggers. That shoe, for instance, down there has a Clorox 360-degree fogger that sprays their weight room every night. So it's you know, pretty cool. They really are investing to protect these kids. So players will arrive to a very different, very clean facility, and they'll be tested. Some places will do virus testing. Others will just do tests for temperature, you know, and then they'll test those who have symptoms. They'll obviously get tested for the virus. Some schools are even quarantining kids. When first 12 or 14 days back, you quarantine and you just stay by yourself in your dorm or in your apartment. So it's going to be interesting. It's kind of the new normal right now.
Now, Ross, when you look at, and obviously we talked about this, I want to say a handful of years in the past about the power struggle between the Power Five and, let's say, like the SEC and the NCAA. Is this something that the Power Five or even the SEC, you look at the Big Ten, whatever, and I'm just going to say the Power Five as a whole, that they would beat to their own drum, and the NCAA just has to be on board with them. You know, you look at Mark Emmert, and he seems almost like a leader without any clothes on, considering the stroke that he has over college football, and particularly the Power Five. Well, what is your take on that when you look at, like, the SEC commissioner and his power versus, like, a Mark Emmert in the NCAA? Who's really calling the shots when you look at that going forward?
Well, thanks, Bobby, for that image of a naked Mark Emmert. I appreciate that one. You know, it's a great point, and it's something that's brought up quite a bit, is kind of when is the Power Five going to split off and do its own thing? And, it feels more and more like it's just a matter of time. It's a more of a when, not an if. The amount of money, and it's not just about the NCAA and the reputation that it has. It's more so about the difference between the Group of Five teams and the Power Five teams, the financial differences. I mean, it's kind of laughable in a way that these two entities, the Group of Five and Power Five, compete against each other for a championship. You know, it's a little ridiculous when you look at the budgets and you look at the numbers. I think the average Power Five budget is, these are just guesses, but probably hover around $80 to $90 million a year athletic budget. And Group of Five is probably maybe half that, maybe a tiny bit more, maybe $50 million. You know, I mean, there's a huge, huge difference. They're quite literally playing with different rules, because the Autonomy Five now different rules that they can create. So it does feel like it's just a matter of time. And maybe this is something, this whole virus thing, that has jump-started that conversation. I don't necessarily see it happening anytime too soon, but it's certainly being talked about in administrative circles. You know, something else that's being talked about is, do we need a commissioner for college athletics? You know, one commissioner like you have in the NFL, the NBA. Where Mark Emmert is a president, he's working for the conference commissioners, and the conference commissioners are working for the school presidents. You could have one all-powerful commissioner who would work with the conferences. So maybe that happens sooner.
Bobby, got anything else for Ross?
No, Ross put me at ease, because I'm thinking on the same wavelength as him. Great minds think alike.
That's right.
Ross Dellinger, covering college football for Sports Illustrated. Thanks so much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. See y'all.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.